Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Hi.
Hi. What's up? How's it going?
How's it going? We have a great episode for y'all today.
Yeah, this is Anna and Shireen of Ethnically Ambiguous.
Oh, right, that part.
All right, guys, we have a great episode today. We finally have a guest again. That's right, the sweep of solo episodes, because we were lazy about booking, has ended. We got guests again, baby. You'll never hear Shireen and I talk to each other again. Just joking.
That's a promise.
Give us about 2 weeks before we get lazy again. So we got a great guest today. You might know them because they have done legendary character work in the city of Los Angeles and nationwide. Maybe you heard of a little man named Creeper of Cholo Fit. Maybe you have. Maybe. Yeah, you most likely have. And they also have a podcast on iHeartRadio's Slate Big Money Players. We are joined by Frankie Quinones. Frankie.
Hey.
Yay!
What's up?
Don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pets? Why were we born?
We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Hi. I feel like we were talking a lot off mic anyway before we started recording. We were laughing with our guests just now. We were having a great time. I feel like we already really bonded because we just shared so much laughter. Do you want to tell everyone who our guest is today?
Oh my God. We shared so much laughter. Oh my God. We were talking about being sick and COVID and all that life stuff. So we have a great guest today. They now officially have a podcast on the Big Money Players Network. Woo! Which is an Slate network thingy run by Will Ferrell on iHeartRadio, iHeart Podcasts, if you will. And the show is kind of an extension almost of like what we've seen them doing their whole career. Is this fun for everybody? Well, we are joined by Frankie Quinones. Did I say your last name wrong?
Yeah, Quinones. Yeah,
Quinones?
Yeah.
Wait.
Quinones.
Say it.
Quinones. Yeah.
Quinones. Okay, I feel like I'm saying it wrong.
It's like one ñ. I think you got a ñ going, but it's just Quinones.
I've got a ñ.
Wait, can you say it louder for me?
Quiñones.
Oh, Quiñones. You're right. I am Quiñones. Adding an extra.
Yes, no, yes.
Quiñones.
Keep it all in.
That
keep
caught all the little in. Wormy, homie.
Yeah. Here. That's funny. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And how has your time at Big Money Players been? Please be truthful.
No, it's been cool. I mean, you know, it's been so good. Like that.
I'm trying to start drama with Hans and Olivia. And how was your experience with them?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's been good, man. Yeah, yeah. No.
Two former guests of the show, Olivia Aguilar and Hans Sani. You know how we do. We love to create beef with the other people who've been on this show and my coworkers.
But yeah, thank you for coming on our show. I know we were trying to get you on for a hot minute, but you're a very busy man. We're going to talk about just how you got so busy. Isn't that an amazing segue? Yeah. Okay. Frankie, will you please tell us the origin story of who you are? Where were you born? Where did you grow up?
Yeah, so I was born in the San Fernando Valley. And I lived there with my family. And we used to live in a one-bedroom apartment. Then we moved. I still got a bunch of family in the Valley, but we moved to Ventura County. So like Oxnard, Camarillo, Ventura. And then I lived in San Francisco for 15 years. Now I've been back in L.A. for, it'll be 10 years in August.
Yeah. Wow. California guy.
Yeah, well, California West Coast dude.
Is that where you met Marcella in SF?
Yeah, yeah. Yep, yeah. I know Marcella a long time. That's the homegirl here. Yeah.
I'm obsessed with Marcella.
What sent you up north again?
I lived with some family up there, and then I went to school, and then I thought I was going to come right back.
Yeah.
I went to San Francisco State, and then I ended up just staying. Got a job there, and then was just chilling.
So growing up in San Fernando Valley, that's what you said.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what it's called. The Valley made me question myself.
It's the Valley. He's a Valley boy.
The Valley, the Valle, homie. Yeah. But I mostly grew up in Ventura County. I was still young when we moved out of there, yeah.
Okay. So growing up in Ventura.
So I was like Strawberry Fields and shit.
Oh, yeah. Cute.
Oh, so he was like Ventura boy.
What was that like growing up there?
I mean, it was cool, you know, it's just like suburb shit. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can cuss, right? Sorry.
Yes.
No. Yes. How dare you say suburb shit? Are you out of your goddamn mind? We are pro-suburb in this goddamn podcast. Just joking.
But yeah, no, it was cool. You know, I was like, my family's real close, and I was mostly spending a lot of time with my family, and then I, you know, just like... staying out of trouble and you know dancing. Like my mom and dad always had me active. Like I would dance, play sports. I danced ballet folklorico and shit.
Ooh.
And you know that was pretty much like my weekends. You know, just going to school and you know going to do these performances and then
yeah. Did you know that you were interested in comedy back then?
Yeah, because my mom and dad were like diehard. They always had funk music on or you know rancheras, mariachi shit, mm-hmm. salsa music, old rock. Just big fans of music, mostly like old school funk. And then it always like they always kept that to keep them in a good mood or it was like positive vibes and shit. And then they would always have stand up on like, you know, whoever, like Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, George Carlin, Paul Rodriguez, like all these people. And they would just kind of be like, cover yours on the bad parts, mijo. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then
yeah,
and we would watch all the sketch shows and all that. And I just saw how powerful it was. Like they were, even though they were going through like the roughest times, I saw like, damn, laughter's dope. And then I saw that I could be funny, but I was like getting in a lot of trouble at school, driving my parents crazy. Cause I was like, you know, class clown, going to the mm-hmm. principal's office all the time, all that whole thing. But yeah, so I kind of knew back then, like, oh, I wanted to do it for a long time. And then eventually I was already like 24, 25. I did my first open mic, but I did some improv stuff like in high school stuff before, mm-hmm. but that was it.
Yeah. What did you go? You said you went to SFSU. What did you go to school for?
Or SF State? Yeah, sorry. Is that what? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, San Francisco State University. SFSU.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah. SFSU.
Yeah, right.
Sorry,
right. I never called it that. I don't know how letters are. Yeah.
SFSU. Yeah, yeah.
SFSU. What is it? Shut fuck up. Shut.
That's what it stands for. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Instead of STFU, just a little thing to think about.
Oh, haha! Wow. That was millennial of us.
I've had a very long day. I'm sorry. I apologize to everyone.
No, what?
No, it's all good.
No, but what did you study up there?
Oh, broadcasting and media performance. Like I wanted to be like a morning radio DJ.
Oh, you did?
Wow.
Yeah, that was like my my dream. Even when I was little, I would get the dubbing audio cassette thing going, and I would act like I was DJing, you know, like doing little commentary and then playing a song, and then I'll have these
That's
like
so cute.
Part of me feels like you should still do that. Like I would listen to that. I would love a Frankie morning show that's just like you telling us like weird morning news stories and like doing what are they
good
thinking?
Morning
like,
listeners
they do like contests and weird shit and you're like what is this but I think I would like to hear that. You should pitch that. You work at iHeart now, you should pitch that.
Maybe this podcast is a good step in that direction to make this show happen. I think so.
You should go. You should step down from like a legit career to becoming a radio. Like
morning radio. I have two free tickets to the Chuck E. Cheese anniversary this weekend for you and your family.
Yeah,
yeah, perfect.
Please do it so I can, so I personally can listen and enjoy it.
So I'm assuming you did your first open mic in San Francisco then, just based on this timeline.
Yeah, Brainwash Cafe. It was like the longest running open mic. In San Francisco, it went like 21 years, and then, you know, just as of recently, maybe a couple years ago, developers bought the building and they closed it down, and
now it's a Whole Foods.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, wait, question: like, I mean, it sounds like you were raised to be a performer. Your parents saw you for who you are, a true talent. But when did you pivot to being like, I want to do stand up or like I want to do comedy?
It was kind of always in the back of my head. And then, I was working at a warehouse job doing like shipping and receiving. And one of my boys was like, hey man, I saw this spot where they do open mic comedy. You should go sign up. And I raced there after work and signed up, waited like 2 hours. And, there was like six people left, you know, it's like a cafe laundromat, the Brainwash.
Yeah.
And then I make sure you're familiar with it, but, yeah. And I was like nervous as hell. I had to take like five shots and I'm just like, okay, let's do comedy. And I did like, you know, 5 minutes of diarrhea jokes and sex jokes, like the low hanging fruit. But I got some laughs, you know, and then I was like, oh, I really got something here. And then, you know, and then I just kind of was going once a week for a while and then started going more often. And yeah, then I.
Yeah. I mean, they say they're low hanging, but poop is the one thing that unites us all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. We all
poop, farting, you know, like everyone could relate to something along those lines. The first thing I did on stage was fart jokes. So low hanging, but universally understandable.
Yes, I agree. Farts will always be funny.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm not going to deny that. And I will not add anything further because I think you guys have really covered that point. Farts will never not be funny.
Great. Okay, moving on.
Wait, so tell us the first moment you laid eyes on Marcella, because really this show's about Marcella.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Dude, I hope she doesn't hear this. She's going to be like, yes, that's me. Everybody loves me.
Oh, she's going to hear this and she's going to roast your ass. Okay.
We've raved about her with multiple guests. That's the thing. This is just a fan club for her at this point. But I would love to hear how y'all met.
The other day she roasted me because I accidentally left her on a CC. Anyway. All right. Tell us about the time. I sent an email. She was still on. She's like, why am I on this email? And I was like, damn. I'm being roasted.
Yeah. I don't even know if she knows the first time we met, but it's been, oh gosh, it's probably been at least 12 years, 13 years ago we met. And yeah, it was like, all right, cool. And we were cool with each other. We're like brother and sister now. So mm-hmm. I can't even, like, we get in arguments and shit and like, you know, but we're so close. Like, we're actually working together this weekend at San Jose Improv, you know, so.
Hell yeah. Oh, I think I saw that.
Yeah, so, and then she, like, ends up becoming homies with, like, my mom and my sister, and she's, like, part of the family now. Like, she's stopping by my sister's house. I'm not even there. Like, she's,
that's
in fact,
amazing.
She's all up in my shit now, and I'm just, like, kind of stuck with her, you know?
Mm. She does seem like, yeah.
Yeah, she don't give a, like, she is very straightforward, no filter, like, you
that's
know what I mean?
That's the best thing. That's the best thing. But she does seem like the type of person that families would love. You know?
It's kind of a weird thing because she could be very like, whoa, whoa, this girl is just kind of crazy. She just says whatever. And then all of a sudden I turn around and like my mom and my sister are like in love with her. And I'm like, mm-hmm. what the, like Marcella? Really? Like that shit talking ass, like, you know? And like,
every comic we've talked to that started or eventually did comedy in San Francisco, I feel like there's this vibe that it's like, a very supportive comedy community. Is that what it was for you as well? The SF comedy scene?
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, I'm grateful that I started there because you get, well, first of all, you get more stage time because it's not as saturated as, you know, L.A. Everybody is coming here from all over to you know, make it and do their thing. So it's easier to get stage time and get longer stage time. So you get more of an opportunity to, like, hone your craft and all that. But, yeah, I started, like, in a lot of Black and Latino rooms. And, you know, they really put you through the ringer. And then you know, you grow into getting into the clubs and then appreciating the alternative scene and all those rooms. And then, but, yeah, everybody was, like, super supportive. And, you know, it wasn't, like, you know, even though comedy, especially with stand-up, it could kind of be like Shark Tank-ish sometimes, and everybody's like, oh, getting so competitive and this and that. It really, everybody was pretty supportive up in San Francisco, yeah.
That's good. SF was, I think, a good place to start. I feel like I know a lot of great people, mm-hmm. like you, Marcella, Greg Edwards, who we've had on this show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. yeah. That's my Greg Edwards first. Greg's another good homie. Yeah,
yeah, and like Anna Saragina and Kyle Mizono, all these great people. Hassan Minhaj. I mean, like, all these great people came up in SF, and it's
yeah, those are all good friends, right?
Yeah, maybe the supportive community helped them out versus like LA or New York, even where it's like maybe, well, mostly LA.
Yeah, LA's like, don't start in LA, man.
Yeah, exactly.
If an agent sees you bomb, they'll never think of you not bombing for the rest of your life.
You need to, like, show face in this town. Yeah. Show face. Rub elbows. Like, dude, what? I'm just trying to tell some jokes. Tell me now.
They're so aggressive. And then New York, they're like, you got to cut your teeth in New York, okay? You got to cut your teeth in the clubs, in the alternative rooms. Oh, you got to cut your teeth. And it's like, oh my God, everybody, chill out.
Yeah, dude, it's not that serious. Let me try to tell jokes.
I produce live comedy for too long. I've heard so much nonsense. And I'm like, or you could just chill the fuck out and be like, focus on being a good comic.
Right.
don't stress that. So much. Yeah. Yeah. Like, here's a few things. Just don't be racist. Really think about your comedy. Yeah. Like, be a nice person. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you will go far.
Yeah.
But anyway, San Francisco now is officially the best place to start comedy.
Yeah.
According to Ethnically Ambiguous.
We've decided officially since you are, like, we needed one more person to be from there to officially decide that.
Yeah, it's a good place to start for sure.
What do your parents think about you? What did they
what do your parents think about you?
No. What is their opinion of their son? No. When you first did, like, your open mic or whatever, did you tell them right away? Or was it like a slow burn?
No, I told them and they were pumped, and they, because, you know, they just love they're comedy fans anyway. Mm-hmm. But I actually had got laid off from my job. But I had, like, been working crazy hours and saved up some money over, like, a 4 or 5 year span. And then, like 2 months later, the business picked back up and they offered me my job back, and I didn't take it. And that was when it kind of got real, because I was like, no, I'm going to pursue this, you know, comedy thing. And, you know, my dad was like, all right, mijo, you know, do what you want. And, you know, my mom's like, ay, mijo, it's a good job, though. And are you sure, you know, are you sure about this? And I was like, yeah. And they were kind of like, you know, they were like, okay, like, do what you want. But then eventually, obviously, that money ran out quick and da-da-da, even though it wasn't that much money. I'm just saying, like, you know, and then I ended up, you know, I was just sleeping on my homie's couch for, like, a couple years. But they all the homies believed in me, and luckily, like, I wasn't, like, I was single, didn't have any kids or no major. But I was still, like, in my 30s, like, pursuing this dream, you know? And then so there was definitely, like, some deep parts of discouragement and depression and, like, fuck, you know, maybe this isn't for me, and da da da. Then but they always, deep down, I think they definitely always like supported me and believed in me. And then when it happened, they were like, you know, I owe it all to them, really, because I know not everybody that chooses this career path has that type of support, you know what I mean? So I was there, and now they're, like, super happy and proud, and, you know, my mom's they love it.
wait, what did you say your mom is? Sorry.
No, she's just like happy and supportive and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's That's really good. Important to have that support network. And I mean, yeah, you can just really tell the difference between having it and not having it, I suppose. But how did you get through the darker times? Was it because of the support network? Or, like, what helped you continue?
I mean, there was definitely some parts where even my parents were like, hey, homie, you know, you got to get your shit together, you know, like, you got to go get a real job and all that. And I was like scraping by doing, you know, because it's very inconsistent, especially when you first start kind of, you know, you'll have a gig for like $500. You're like, oh, hell yeah, you know, that covers my cell phone bill and this and that. And then, you know, then you have months where you're making like $1,000, a couple thousand bucks. And then the next month you ain't making nothing.
Yeah.
And then the next month you're making like $200. And then, you know, and then you're making another couple grand. And then so it's like up and down. So I was doing all these odd jobs, you know, to try to make ends meet, but, and sleeping on my homie's couch. So I didn't have the highest like self-esteem at the time and all that. But, you know, and then I would like party it off. I would get stressed out, anxious, and I would do drugs and drink and all that shit, self-medicate. But luckily I had a good support system to slap me in the face, tell me to get my shit together, and I just kept it moving, and eventually shit started happening. Sorry, I'm like rambling out.
You're supposed to ramble, that's the whole point. We're gonna let you ramble some more, but first let's take our first break. Don't go anywhere.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
All right, we are back with Frankie. I have a question for you. So, like, when you're back in LA, like, what was it like trying to do comedy out here? Like, I guess I'm more curious, like, how did you kind of find your voice? And, like when did you start doing, like, characters and stuff? Because I know, like, you did a ton. I mean, I used to produce Underbelly with Ryan Singer and Chris Garcia. And you would always come in with some, you know, hilarious. I mean, I think maybe Creeper is one of my faves. Legendary character, may I say?
Yeah.
Answer my question, please.
So when I was doing stand-up, I was like, I kind of am a storyteller on stage anyway, and I'll do voices. And then so it kind of like organically, like kind of just led into me like commit, like, you know, getting actually fitted in the thing. And then JC, you know, Juanita Carmelita is the first one that I did. I would, at the Dark Room, you know, in San Francisco, and then, which is another place that closed down. But and then she just based off my mom, and because I was already kind of doing my mom's voice on stage, and then it kind of turned into that character. And then my dad is an old school cholo, you know, he's always had a low rider, Chuck Taylor's Dickies, but the best dad, one of the most positive people I knew. But you know, just representing that culture. And so those main characters are based off straight up my mom and dad and people I grew up around.
What do your mom and dad think about having characters based off of them?
They love it. My mom would kind of talk shit sometimes, like, "That's stupid. I don't talk like that." That's dumb, you know? And I'm like, yeah, you're kind of just proving my point right now.
That's funny. I didn't know they were based off your parents.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. Cool. It's funny too, because like when people actually kick it with them, they're like, "Oh man!" Like they just, it almost like, I don't want to say it messes it up for my mom and dad, but they're like, when people meet them, they're like, "Oh my gosh, dude! There it is." So it's like, then they're only seeing these characters and they're actually like talking to my mom and dad. But yeah, my dad's like a real chill dude though. He's not all like, he's just kind of like, "All right, cool," you know, just my real positive, like, "Hey, live with gratitude, mijo, and you know, work hard and you know, all that stuff." I'm like, "All right, dad, that's what's up." But yeah, so, and then yeah, and then we did, my dad's in like the first like Cholo Fit video that went viral, but we knew it was funny when we made it, but I didn't know it was gonna blow up like that. So but yeah, then I just,
yeah, it was on Mas Mejor, was that what was on that?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Duh. And note to self, don't bring up Mas Mejor anymore. I remember when it went viral and you had also had done it. I have a photo of you from years ago that I was actually looking up the other day because I knew you were coming out on this show, from when you did it. I think when we were doing Underbelly at the Improv, which was a strange place to be doing that show. But
oh, yeah. Because I remember doing it, was it with the Echoes Under Sunset?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, for a while before that closed. And then we did it at Improv. And then we moved somewhere else. I don't remember. But it's been in a few places.
What was it? Yeah. No. Love that show.
Yeah, Ryan actually texted me yesterday saying they want to bring it back. So hopefully. There's only one show I would come back to producing live comedy for, and it's Underbelly, because it is the purest show. I mean, regular stand-up is fine, but I don't think I ever need to go back to regular stand-up, like to produce shows like that, because I don't want to interact with a bunch of goddamn comedians anymore. In that sort of like, I don't know. There's a difference between like a show that's about like doing anything but stand-up, where like people come in like ready to have fun, versus like a straight stand-up show where everyone is like, I don't know, it's just so much, they really out here trying to like get their stage time, and they're kind of aggressive about it, and they're kind of in your business, and some of them are rude, and it's like, I don't need that energy. I'd rather do Underbelly, where everyone's coming in to be like batshit crazy, you know?
Yeah. And like the comics are gonna agree to do that show, or like they're usually on a different, you know, they're like,
yeah, they're down.
I don't know. Yeah,
they're exactly, down to clown, yeah, if you will.
Down to clown.
Literally, they're down to get fucking weird. And you know, I remember time Chris Garcia straight up butt chugged beer on the stage. You know, like that's the joy.
Oh, yeah.
Damn, we just had Chris on the show. I should have brought that up.
Yeah, I didn't know that happened. That's,
I have a question. How dare you butt chug beer on that stage?
Oh my god.
That shit was actually crazy. That was the Echoes Under Sunset days. I don't think we could have done that at Improv.
Oh yeah. No.
That was when we were under a bridge where anything could go down. Those were the days. But yeah, I remember just Creeper being such a great character. I mean, I think you really nailed the LA vibe perfectly. Of it's like just the fitness of like, look, anyone out here is gonna get into like CrossFit. It's just weird how all of a sudden you're like so into something because you lived in LA for a certain amount of time. You just sort of like, you become it.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting with that whole fitness side, because you know, I was just trying to embrace like the, you know, I just kind of, because we did a video called Cholo Whisper, and then the people were like, "Oh, you need to make another one," and he was already kind of doing some yard workouts in the backyard. And we're like, well, what's going to be the sequel? Like, he's got to get a job. He's going to have trouble getting a job. What could he do? And I was like, oh, I know. He could be a fitness instructor. You know, just do it, some yard workouts in the backyard. And then it just blew up into that. But now it's funny, like, doing shows, like fitness instructors will come with, like, their whole class and, like, students to the shows. And so, like, there's, like, this whole fitness community. Like,
that's hilarious. They're like, please pay attention.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that's
funny. Good.
Have you considered teaching real Cholo Fit classes?
Oh, that would be so good.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. People always ask me, I've done like a couple of just like little like short, like for, you know, just the comedy purposes. But then you know, they're actually real workouts. Like, you do it. Like, oh. When we're doing the video side of it, and I have to do those reps, like, a certain amount of times, I'm like, oh, dang, homie. Like, hey, I'm feeling it. You know, like, what a trip.
Well, when you, I just out of curiosity, well, I don't remember when I did this. I remember trying to go down, you know, when you, like, hold your hands and go down in the, like, crouch position.
Yeah, the cholo squat.
Cholo squat. That's hard.
Yeah.
Guys, dude, and then, not a joke.
When I go do like meet and greets after shows and all that, everybody wants to do the cholo squat, you know? And then, so we had like a clicker for like attendance marking and all that. And then, yeah. So when my host like counted how many squats I did in a weekend, and it was like almost 300 or something.
Holy shit.
Because I'm like, when I come, because you know, in comedy clubs, you do like 5 shows a weekend. Mm-hmm. And then I get home on Monday and I'm like, dude, I'm putting the ointments and you know, I'm drawing the blinds and just like, leave me alone. I'm hurting, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, no, cholo squat, if you did enough cholo squats, you would have incredibly strong legs.
Yeah.
That's a good
workout.
What
about your butt? You probably have a great butt too, right?
I mean, yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. My sister definitely gets jealous of my gluteus, my my gluteus maso menos or something.
It looks damn. Like you've had a BBL. Yeah.
Damn, Frankie and his cholo squats. Nice ass. Okay. Damn, that's actually, yeah. Maybe I will get into cholo fit. I'm just watching the video, the parody video over and over again as my workout. I'm
like, that's pretty good. That's pretty funny. Every morning.
Yeah. I mean, it actually works. It works. You should patent that. You should be careful. You should get in that patent real quick because mm-hmm. you don't know. Yeah. These people are ripping off workouts. You're going to see that. Like, what's the guy who does the P90X? Tony Horton. You need to make sure that fool is not stealing your cholo fit.
Hey, let's check out Tony Horton.
Let's call your lawyers. Yeah. You need to go make sure Tony Horton is not up to no cholo fit business.
I'm curious how you were you influenced by wanting to be a radio person by also being interested in podcasting? Like, what is there a connection there, or is that just me trying to be? I don't know.
I mean, well, because the podcast I do is scripted. You know, it's all like skits and characters and voices. Mm-hmm. It's no interviews or not that. Even though I've been thinking about like maybe adding a little like some kind of interview thing. But yeah, it's the question I got off track. Like,
no, it's okay. Well, how did you decide to even get into podcasting?
That was what it was. I'm apologizing too much.
It's okay, you're fine.
So my mom and dad were back in the day, like they had like Cheech and Chong A-tracks, and I would like listen to those. And then, you know, and even as a teenager, I would listen to like Adam Sandler CDs. And, you know, I know that Jerky Boys it's not really PC at all, but didn't really hold up. I re-listened to them, like preparing for my podcast. I was like, oh my God. This shit's crazy. But yeah, I used to love that. So, and I'm like, oh man. So it's kind of, I always knew that that's what I would want to do or incorporate that somehow in a podcast. So it's like, even working on it and going through the process is like real, very like nostalgic, you know, because I just remember all those times like listening to old CDs or mm-hmm. in the Cheech and Chong case of A-tracks, which is like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, podcasting is a weird little side of the biz. What has your experience been like making a podcast?
It's been cool. Like, you know, I got my homie Kevin Kamiya like co-writes all the stuff with me, and then you know, Marcella's been on a few episodes and kind of help out with that, and then mm-hmm. You know, like it's been fun. Like it's a lot of work. Because of all like the sound effects and the things and everything, like it's a lot of fun, but all those little things take so much time and
yeah,
and it's cool. But like, I also was like, oh man, I'm just gonna be another comedian with a podcast and da da da. But then as I listen to them, like you can't have enough. Like people love it, and I love, you know, I've gotten more into listening to them, and then just like it's it's cool. I'm excited to step into the. Yeah. Platform area, whatever you call it.
Yeah. It's also like, especially the last 2 years, I think there was a huge boom in that whole space, right? Because more people were doing it from their house, but also people, I don't know. I think for whatever reason, COVID was great for podcasting.
Oh, yeah. They were like selling out of the whole podcast gear at like Best Buy.
Yeah. I can't really explain it. I just realized that like no one was commuting anywhere, so why did it get so big? You know, like are people just listening to it like on a cat? Like,
well, I think there was a brief drop off from lack of commute, and then people were like potentially listening on walks or like workouts. Mm. But there was definitely, I feel like we lost a little bit from the like commute aspect of it all. But then also, like, if there's nothing to do, then you might want to turn on a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, that, like, most of the time when I listen to podcasts, I'm driving or going somewhere, like, all right, I'm going to throw this on. It makes the commute that much easier.
Yeah, exactly. Marcella actually was one of our first guests, and she helped basically reformat the whole show because she, like, made a comment about something not making sense. We had done it every episode. We were like, damn, she's right. Then we just changed everything after that. So I think Marcella is a great...
Wait, what did we do every episode?
Remember how we just used to run through news stories like really fast before bringing in the guest or whatever? We would like almost like rapid fire headlines. And then Marcella during the recording was like, why are you guys doing that? You should just select a few and I can comment on them, or like something. I'm paraphrasing, but it was something along those lines. And then we just did that.
That's funny. I have no memory of this at all.
Wait, really?
I remember Marcella being on the show. I didn't know that we like talked to people about news stories. Did we?
I remember we started off that way, and then we brought the guest in before Marcella.
Oh.
And then Marcella was like, "This is not fun for me." And then we're like, "You're right." And so, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's on the recording. I'm fairly positive. I should go back and listen to that one.
That's interesting. I don't remember that at all. Blacked it out like I do everything else after a certain few minutes. Don't even remember the beginning of this show.
Oh, gosh. I don't have to tell Marcella, like, yeah, we talked about you a lot of things. She's going to be like, that's right, motherfucker.
You don't have to tell her.
Is
she forcing you to tell her every time you talk about her?
Is she in the room?
She's like, I swear to God, Frankie, anytime you ever speak about me on any goddamn podcast, you better let me know. You better get ahead of it and tell me so I don't hear from someone else.
Every time someone says her name, she gets an alert on her phone. Like anywhere. Yeah.
It's good for her.
Yeah. God, she's a legend. Anyway, again, Marcella Fan Club podcast. That would be funny if someone did start a podcast just raving about like one friend. You know what I mean? That would be kind of...
Yeah.
That was an inside thought that I should have kept inside.
that's like an episode of Snapped.
Snapped?
We knew she was a problem when she started a podcast about her friend raving about how much she loved her. At first, we were like, that's cute. But then it got sinister. I was like, okay, bitch.
Wait, what? Is that a show?
Snapped? Yeah.
They just talk about how people lose it?
It's mostly women.
Oh, yeah. But it's like murder and shit. Yeah,
yeah, it's mostly about how women be crazy.
Women be crazy, y'all. They be killing fools.
Yeah. They're like, maybe you heard of hysteria. You know when that little lady was on her period.
And snapped her husband.
She snapped. Yeah, it is incredibly misogynistic. You're like, what the fuck? When you watch it, you're like, okay. Jesus Christ.
It's a crazy ass show.
They literally, it might as well have been called Women Be Crazy, because it's it's all women.
Women got weapons, y'all. Yeah.
Women got weapons.
And it's like, she was wrong, so she killed everybody. And you're like, oh, okay. It's not good.
Yeah, that show was created by men, I'm sure.
You know, it was 40 dudes in a conference room being like, so my wife, she was like, do the dishes. And I was like, no, honey. And she got a little upset. Now, what if she had killed me? You know, like, it's as simple as some dude was like, my wife is always nagging me. And they're like, you know what'd be funny? A show all about how these crazy women just kill people.
Yeah. And they're like, that's incredible. Yes.
We'll buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll buy it for $1 million.
And I'm always on the woman's side. I'm always like, she should snap.
Yeah.
I should snap.
Homie was tripping.
Yeah. It's always like, it's like, if you have to live in this world, you should be allowed one free snap.
One that you just go fucking batshit. Hey, there might be consequences. You know, someone might die, but we should all be, as women, sorry, Frankie, not you.
Yeah, yeah.
We should be allowed one free snap. It's like the purge night. We get one free, like, just, I flipped a table and crashed my car into someone. Like, I literally just lost it. Because what am I supposed to do? It's crazy out here.
I agree, actually. I would love that freedom and leeway to just fully lose my mind and be like, this is allowed today. This is my free ticket today.
All right, Shireen, that's your one snap.
You send a text out to all your friends. I think I'm probably going to use my snap tomorrow. So just avoid if possible.
And then we can make our own Snapchat.
Oh,
well,
no. Oh no, we're about to get
let's
sued.
Let's go to a break, please.
Allegedly.
Time for a second break. Time for a second break where I crawl into a cave and don't come out. Bye.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back again with Frankie. Shireen and I both snapped at the break. Frankie survived. Let's talk about your podcast some more. So it's called The Frankie Quinonez Show.
Yes.
It's not called podcast, right? No, it's just called Show Podcast.
The Frankie Quinonez Show Podcast. Yeah.
It's on Big Money Players. It's out right now. It's already out. You have a few episodes out.
Yes. You just search The Frankie Quinonez Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
Yeah.
How did you come up with it? And like, what made you want to do like a sketch podcast show?
Like I said before, I was just growing up listening to Cheech and Chong or Adam Sandler and all that stuff. And kind of even when I had been thinking about doing a podcast for a long time, and then, but I always knew I wanted to incorporate sketches somehow. And then Will Ferrell and his crew or whatever, he's starting the Big Money Players Network. And, you know, they were looking for stuff and I didn't know that he knew who I was. And he said some like, he's like commented my character work and all this stuff. And, you know, and then all of a sudden I see him like,
he's like, hey, I love Creeper.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, damn. Okay.
I was like, what? All right. I was playing it cool. And then I like, you know, then I was like, what the fuck? Like crazy, you know, this Will Ferrell and all that stuff. But then right after the excitement, it was like, all right, get to work.
And, serious. All right, get out, Will. I got work to do. Jesus Christ, he's just lingering.
But yeah, yeah, it was like super dope. I mean, obviously, I love Will Ferrell and all his comedy and stuff like that. So I was super pumped for him to, like, you know, put his name on it. And and then we had to get to it, and we were like writing. And then it took a long time for everything to get done, you know, contracts and things and that, you know how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we were actually starting to film a show for Hulu in November. And then that's when the podcast came out too. So it was like crazy because I was filming Monday through Friday, and then so Saturday and Sunday was the only days that I could do the podcast. So we were like, and you know, I really wanted it to be good, so I was just like had like no life for like 3 months, and I was just like filming this show and then going in on the weekends working on the podcast and just like totally submerged and dived into all that madness. Yeah. And
I think the effort shows though when something has a lot of effort put into it, like sound effects or whatever. I think it all pays off. And if, you know what I mean. I think it was worth it. The 3 months where you had no life.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was good for me. So getting out of trouble and all that stuff.
We didn't even really talk about like stand-up. Like, we talked a little about stand-up, but I'm curious what stand-up was. Like, I feel like stand-up comedy really took a hit during the pandemic. Oh, how did you survive that? And what is it like going on tour, or not tour, like going on a show right now? You know what I mean? Like, that must be nice. So answer the first part.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny because at first, like 2020, it was like my busiest. I was like I had only had one weekend off, and then I was either doing my tour or I toured with my buddy Craig Robinson. So I was just gone all the time. And then I was like, but I was kind of like already feeling the wear and tear and all that. So even though I was bummed when everything got closed down and canceled, I was kind of like, oh man, there's a silver lining here. You needed to take a break. But then, you know, then it got weird though. And then I was like feeling lonely, you know, because I finally had living alone for like the first time, you know, I had my own spot. And then it was cool when you had places to go to, but when there was nowhere to go and everything's closed down, I was like, my life. And then so like all these, you know, and then like shit that you're running away from and use all these other distractions to get away from like deeper issues or, you know, past childhood trauma and all that shit surfaced for me. And then I started doing drugs and shit just because I was bored and, you know, up for 2 days on a bag and just it got weird, you know.
Realize it was going to go that way. I'm sorry to bring that up.
No, I'm shit, you know. I just said I was an open book here, so I'm just going to let it ride. But yeah.
But that's intense. That's intense to go to have those emotions and then, just to have the thing that you do all the time, you can't do anymore. Like, I feel like you're, from what I understand, good at getting out of dark little spots. How did you get out of this one?
Well, you know, I just kind of opened up about stuff that, especially in my culture, we're very good at suppressing, you know? And so I was like, you know what? Fuck, man, I got to talk about this shit. And then so I started to therapy and Zoom therapy at first, but, you know, and then, you know, it helped out a lot. And then, you know, and then it was kind of like a wave. I was still like, but it was kind of interesting because I was like, well, this probably would have happened. It was going to happen down the road anyway. And so the pandemic kind of just, let's accelerate this shit. Let's deal with it now. And so I get, you know, in a way, I'm kind of grateful that it led to that because I would have just kept suppressing, you know, all this shit and it would have eventually blown up somehow or made me feel weird things for
snaps.
or snap. That was your snap. Women, you know.
oh, my bad. No, you're right. You probably wouldn't understand what that's like.
Yeah.
No, that's good. That's always good to. And I agree, like, you know, immigrants, people of color, like, they don't teach you to, like, say anything about how you're feeling. And the second you do, they're like, Jesus Christ, what do you need? You got a roof on your head. What do you want? And you're
exactly.
Like, but my insides, you know, and they're like, I don't know what that word means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You express an emotion and they're like, stop being dramatic and sensitive. And you're like,
quit being weird right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And your dad's like, I walked 45 miles a day to go to school and get a job so to move to this country so you could have this life. And you're depressed?
Yes.
And you're like,
oh, you need therapy? Yeah, I didn't even have shoes. I didn't have shoes.
Yeah, you're like, oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. But damn, dude. But that's good. I'm glad you were able to get the help you needed so you didn't snap. I love the idea.
Yeah, still doing it. Yeah.
That's good.
It's a good point, though. I think I also experienced this with my vices, I believe, but left to your own devices. If you live alone, if you're by yourself, especially during the pandemic, there was a long stretch of time. No one was looking after you or monitoring you. You were left to your own devices. And I think sometimes when that happens, we go a little too far in the wrong way. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think that was an interesting part of the pandemic. It's like, what happens if you're alone for too long? I don't know.
It could get weird.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny, though, too. Like, I remember, like, when I first was like, all right, I'm going to go to therapy and do it. And the guy, the therapy homie's like, you know, yeah, welcome. Business has definitely gotten a lot better for us over the pandemic. He's like, addiction went up, 300%. Oh, alcohol sales went up 200%. It was like all these crazy statistics. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm one of these people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I like that you just called your therapist therapy homie.
I like that too.
I can dig that. It almost has like less of a sting to be like, I'm in therapy versus like, I'm just going to go see my therapy homie. Yeah.
it almost like, sounds like your friend is your therapist.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, cool. That's cool. Accredited? Oh, cool. Okay. Good to know. Therapy
homie. He's a therapy homie for real. Okay. Yeah. He's got that little plaque and everything. All right.
He's got a degree. He's got the therapy homie degree. That's awesome. I have another question. So it's actually kind of, so did you also feel like doing this podcast kind of helped like fulfill that urge as a child to be a radio morning DJ?
I asked the same question earlier.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, well, I don't know. Sorry. I was okay. Zoning out thinking about your experience.
But yeah, to answer it again, yeah, it's fulfilling that a little bit.
Oh, that's good.
Even right now, I got the headphones and the mic. I'm like, oh, hey, we're doing it, y'all.
Yeah. But deciding to make it scripted was intentional on your part because of
your characters.
Yeah, the characters.
Yeah, yeah. Just so like all the characters and voices in my head have a place to just be creative and do their thing and
voices in your head.
How do you feel about your character, the creeper, having like 5 times more followers than you on Instagram?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I embrace it.
Shireen. That was a messy question. How do you know about that?
It's so funny when people say that like I'm gonna be hurt. I'm like, it's me, right? Yeah.
I wasn't thinking you were gonna be hurt. I was just wording it in a funny way. Sorry. Yeah. Funny to me.
People see you and think no thanks, but when they see creeper, they say yes, please. How does that feel? I have to go investigate this.
No, it's cool. I mean, I embrace it. Like, Creeper's my favorite character to do. He's just fun. He's active. He's doing his thing. He's all positive, positive vibes. And, because it was like I told you, my dad's one of the most positive people I know. And then just growing up around that, like, all my cousins, they were actually gangbanging and shit, though. So it was like, so there's that part of it. But there's also, like, this whole positive side of the culture, because people want to, especially like my Nino, it's just my dad's best friend, my godfather, and he was like president of a lowrider car club and all that. And it was funny because in media and like Hollywood stuff, like anytime you see lowriders, it's always like it has to be gang members in there.
Yeah,
associated with violence. And growing up, like being at lowrider car shows and all that, I never saw that. All I saw it do was like bring people together. So I'm like, dude, you guys got it messed up, And then so like to me, like Creeper is an extension of that. Like, hey, it's not all like, just because you see a cholo doesn't mean, hey, he's, it's got to be associated with all this violent shit. Like, hey, it'd be positive vibes too. And so that's that's why I'm happy that Creeper resonates with all backgrounds and people because he has that, he has that, like, he's very, like, even though he's like an over the top kind of character, he's very grounded and people feel like they know a creeper and that's and that he's the homie and he is your homie. He's all about positive vibes and trying to get you in shape, eh? That's what's up.
I just made the mistake of opening Cholo's TikTok and just started laughing immediately. I like Cholo Aquatics.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Everything is so you are so funny.
Creeper is an influencer. Will Creeper ever go to therapy, you think?
There's a Creeper therapy video actually.
Oh, there is.
Creeper
goes to
therapy.
Bad.
Like Creeper takes care of himself on all levels.
No, but like that's good that you're showing even like that in a light that's not really shown. Like as you said, like showing that like therapy is good and emotions are fine. Even if it's in a funny way, I think the message is there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, dude, it's a thing, you know? And I remember, like, trying to, like, fit in with my cousins and be tough. And I went through, like, my little wannabe cholo stage, and then I got jumped, you know? And I got I got this dent in my skull and this scar to remind me. I got, you know, it's like that wasn't a life for me. I was doing it because I wanted a girl to like me, and I was trying to fit in with my cousins, and then shit got real. And,
yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
I was like, I had to lie to my parents because my mom was like, he's not dressing like that. My dad's like, oh, let him. Oh. If he's going to do it, he's going to do it right. And my dad would wake me up at 5 a.m, make me crease my pants and crease my shirt. He made me do it like right, you know. But then I got beat up, and then I had to switch back to bugle boy shorts.
Yeah. And he was like, "Sorry, you know, that's not the life."
Yeah, I was like, "I want to be a comedian instead." You know?
Hard pivot. There's one video I just saw of you stretched out across a escalator up the top, going up, doing a workout. Oh, yeah. I can't look at this. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have opened this because I don't even need the audio. Just the footage alone is so funny.
Yeah, it's like, and that was in Salt Lake City, which is so funny because all these Mormons were like, "Oh my goodness, what's going on?"
But it actually looks like quite the workout.
You know, they're all legit workouts.
Everything you do is like an actual workout. I think you're just like legit made a character to stay fit. It's incredible.
I mean, that's one way to sticking to working out, though. That's you're holding yourself accountable, like literally.
Oh, dude, yes, I have to. Well, Creeper holds me accountable, like, because it's funny because, like, pandemic hit, I gained like almost 20 pounds, right? And so I started doing videos, and people were like eating me up online, you know? Like,
I love that you started doing videos instead of like, I started working out by myself, you know what I mean? Like, to work out, you had to be Creeper.
You had to be a character.
That's just funny.
People are talking so much smack. Like, he ain't no fitness instructor. He looks like a burrito with arms and legs coming out of it and all this stuff. And I did a video like hitting, like addressing that. And I read in the video, it's called Creeper Gets Body Shamed. and the comments that I'm reading in those voices are real comments online.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Creeper gets body shamed.
Wow.
What a legendary character.
Legend.
That's so funny. Yeah. You get body shaved. That's that's fucked up. Ooh, sorry, I'm just crying here. Oh, God, that got me. So cruel to body shave Creeper. That's not nice. Leave Creeper alone. Creeper is doing the Lord's work, literally getting us all fit.
Thank you, homie.
Leave Creeper alone.
That's also, I want to talk, you had the HBO Max, HBO's Max? Is that what it's called? Special?
HBO's Max.
HBO's Max. I have a problem where I'm getting old, so I add S's at the end of everything. HBO Max.
Oh, yeah.
Special, which you got to do your characters as well. You brought all your characters together. Now, question, how did they shoot that?
What do you mean? Like during
Because you guys were all in the car together.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You mean the character? Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you do one at a time and then they shoot a plate.
Yeah.
And it's a long process just to get that worked out. But yeah, yeah. So I basically get in the character and sit in every position and make sure not to extend elbow, too far out so you don't cross. And then, and then they just piece it together and post.
That's fun. I really enjoyed that. I was glad we got to see your characters come to life.
Yeah, that kind of saved that. I mean, not that it was that great, but because we shot the stand-up part and it didn't go good, and it was before pandemic, and it was just sitting there. And so I kind of was like, oh, man, this thing is already outdated. And then they let me add the character. So I was like, all right, let's sprinkle that in there. It kind of was okay.
Why didn't it go good? Was it just like a weird show?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I don't want to like say, you know, too much, but my special wasn't the only thing being filmed that night. And it was like, you know, the herding of the crowds and the venue and, oh, we got to get this, you know, there's filming multiple specials in one night, you know, it wasn't a big budget thing. I'll say that.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
TMZ, clip it, release it.
HBO's like, okay, he's done. HBO's Max is
HBO's Max is like, Frankie will never work on HBO's again. Okay. I'm just joking. HBO will never hear this, and neither will TMZ. Is your dream to get caught up in TMZ?
No, I hope not. It's so funny because my mom, like, you know, when I was going through like my, you know, whatever drug shit and all that, she would always use like TMZ. It's like, she's like, I better not see her ass on the TMZs and all that. She's another one that adds S's to everything too.
It comes in old age.
Hey, cabrón, if I see you on the TMZs, ooh, you know, like da da da. And I'm like, all right, like I'm not even a D-list celebrity. Like I'm not going to be on the TMZs, right. Mom. Like, no.
Like it's not jail. It's TMZ. Yeah. Like it's, TMZ is worse than jail.
Yeah, to my mom. Yeah. But I'm like, you talk like, oh, I better not see you on TMZ, but you're watching that shit every day. You know, it's like, what?
Yeah. Well, if you go to jail, you will be on TMZ. No, I don't know. But TMZ is an interesting thing because I think people in this industry work, and this is just an aside, work really hard to not show up on TMZ. Like, I've had people be like, I didn't go to the emergency room because I didn't want to be on TMZ. Or like, I refused to post a photo of myself with my significant other after we divorced because I didn't want them to pick it up and do that little like rip apart photo that they do, like the Photoshop. Oh. Like people in this industry like really are like, they're like hyper vigilant about not doing certain things so they don't show up on TMZ, or like they don't allow TMZ to use them in any way. And I'm like, damn, they have really created a, the community of
it
fear.
It is crazy what they created. Like they know shit before the family does, you know. It's and they're they're like, every time we're at LAX or whatever, I'm with like other homies or my homie Craig, and they're like there, they have like a guy there and they'll be like trying to do interviews, and it's crazy.
I can't believe that's still a thing. Like I thought that, you know what I mean, like growing up it was huge, like the whole Perez Hilton era of like news or whatever. I can't believe TMZ is still a thing. I thought we could be more evolved as a species, but we're not. Like
it goes even harder.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like this. There's like a documentary. I think it's on Showtime or something. But anyways, it's all about like tabloids and how it became famous and how it blew up and how we're addicted to it as a culture. Wow. It's like it's discouraging, but also like when I see those stories pop up, I'm like, oh, that's crazy. Let me read up on that. You know, like
yeah, it's weird. It appeals to maybe like a reptilian part of our brain that we're not even aware of.
Yeah, exactly. It's on some like deeper level shit, like you just mentioned. Yeah.
So. Well, on that note,
let's close it out on a TMZ. Yeah.
I was gonna say it's my dream to show up on TMZ.
That's a good goal. Your dream to snap on TMZ, to use your one snap and end up on TMZ.
If I were, you get to do, you get one snap and then you also get one media request to have a certain outlet pick it up. Mm-hmm. You can only get one to pick it up.
Yeah.
Mine would be TMZ.
That's fair. If you want it out there. It's
because while as cruel as it is to show up on TMZ, you know, you've made it.
Yeah. Well, do you though? What's the definition of make it? I don't know.
Like in a holding cell, like I made it.
TMZ picked up my arrest. Woo! I mean, as sad as it is, it's kind of true though. So we should end the show on that note. Show's over.
Well, Frankie, thank you for joining us.
No, thanks for having me.
Of course, you have to come back. Tell our audience what you're up to right now, if you have shows coming up that we can plug, and also about your podcast, where they can find it.
So the podcast, The Frankie Quiñones Show, available wherever you listen to podcasts. And then, The Frankie Quiñones Show podcast. And then, I'm doing rescheduled dates in California just from COVID because it got weird, but I'm doing like the San Jose Improv this weekend, and then March 19th, I'll be in Fresno. And then
March 19th, Fresno.
Fresno, Califas, homie. And then what am I doing after that? Oh, then Bakersfield, and then San Francisco. And then in the late summer, fall, we're hitting the rest of the country, the Floridas and the Texas and the East Coast. And Portland. I can't wait to go back to Portland. I love that place. But
I love Portland.
But then I got a show, me and my homie Chris Estrada got a show coming out on Hulu. It's me, him, Michael Imperioli. And
Michael Imperioli and Chris Estrada?
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's dope. Oh my God. You like Friday or Atlanta, stuff like that.
Chris
it's
is
on
so
that
funny too.
It's called This Fool. It's
be
out in July or August of this year.
That's Fool?
The
best news I've heard.
Oh my
This Fool?
God! Yeah. Michael Imperioli and Chris Estrada and Frankie?
I'm going to be on TMZ in no time, girl. Oh,
I'm going to have you arrested.
I'm going to call the cops on you.
I'm going to get you to the top by calling the cops on you.
I'm using my snap, Anna. You're not a woman. You're not a woman. You don't get one, asshole.
That's amazing. I'm so excited on Hulu. Oh,
wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's very exciting. And anyone in Bakersfield, Fresno, SF, go to Frankie's shows that are coming up.
You have a website that you post all this, or just you want people to follow you on Instagram?
Yeah, the FrankieGuignones.com.
Yeah, you can follow all of Frankie's tours, and hopefully you can also see Cholo Fit live one day.
Yeah.
Or follow Cholo or Creeper on Instagram. You don't have to follow Frankie, you know, like whatever. Yeah. You just follow. Yeah. Holy shit, you got a little knit.
Is that a voodoo doll?
Of Creeper. He got a little knit Creeper doll. Wait,
he's a voodoo doll of Creeper.
That's not a voodoo doll. He's a knit.
It is a voodoo doll. What else is it?
400,000 more followers than you are.
But it's just you, so you're like, ah!
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I forgot.
I forgot.
Oh, right. It's just me.
It's too late. You're just on the floor dying. It's just me.
Oh, no. I love Creeper. Anyway.
Yeah, but Toby, this girl named Toby Time Crochet, she made this for me.
That's so cute. Wow.
That's amazing.
Maybe you have made it. If someone did that, you know?
What if it's not even you that gets picked up by TMZ? It's Creeper.
Yes.
It's like Creeper's made
it. He just starts taking over your life.
Yeah. They're like, I'm sorry, who's Frankie?
I'm like, this it wasn't Creeper. Me. Yeah.
It's like Jekyll and Hyde. Officer, and then wasn't me. Frankie just takes over.
Well. All right, yeah. Shereen, you want to close us out?
Yeah, sure. Thanks again for being on our show. You're a delight.
No, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Come back anytime. You have to come back after this fool for sure. We can talk to you about it.
Oh yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah.
And yeah, go follow Frankie and check out everything he's up to. And this is Ethnically Ambiguous. It's Ethnically Amb, AMB on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, AMBIG on Instagram. I'm Shereen. It's Shirohiro on Instagram and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
I'm Ayana Osni on Twitter.
And until next time, go do a Cholo Fit workout.
Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.